Parshas Vayishora, we have the din which is so violated in our generation, in America especially, the din of Kever Yisrael, that you have to bury Jews in a separate cemetery. The Torah means to stress that not only do we have to observe the mitzvah satera, the Yomus Olam don't observe the mitzvah, we have to observe the mitzvah satera, but it means our lives are totally different from that of the non-Jews, and we have to be buried in a different cemetery for us, even after we die, it's supposed to be different. The halacha requires, the achrayim and shoknah come to sound, the halacha requires that you have to have a chotah between the Jewish bodies and the non-Jewish bodies. The pashto says in the commentaries on the side of the shoknah point out that there is a din in the Gemara that a nes is tefes dalet ames sivivov, that's called tfisas hakever. The Mishnah is in the end of Moshe, that's called tfisas hakever, tfusas hakever, two uses in the Mishnah, it doesn't make a difference. So the din is that the Achraim said that you're not permitted to have interlocking tfisas hakever. So if you're very, let's say, you're not permitted to bury tzadikei to Russia. So if you bury, let's say, a tzadik next to Russia, within 8 amas of each other, so you're going to have interlocking tfisas hakever, so that's a violation of that din. So the pashtasi is the Achraim assume that the same applies over here. That you're not permitted to bury a Jew next to a non-Jew within the distance of 8 amos, in order not to have interlocking tfisas hakever. In addition to hachok of the 8 amos, so a lot of achrayim have a notion that nosef al-kach, you should put up a fence on top of the ground to separate between the two. But if you just have a fence on top, you don't have the hachok, then most of the achrayim hold that that's not sufficient because the people are buried under the ground. So the fence on top doesn't help. And even if you put the fence into the ground, the fence on top doesn't help. It's just the hemshech of the ground. Well, that's very similar to that. Yeah, but the climb is going above the ground, right? Yeah. But still, since the terrors go above the ground, so the Mishnah is saying that if you have a fence on top of the ground, it's good. Some of the Achaim are new, some of the Achaim have, but if you have a fence above the ground, then there's no need for the distance. There's no need for the hachok of the 8 amos. The only time you need 8 amos is when there's no fence. But most of the achrayim do not accept that. One of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael from the Rabbanut came up with a new einfall. That the only time you need a hachok of 8 amos is when it's a tzaddik next to a Russia. They're both Jewish. But if it's a nachri next to Yisrael, then all you need is 4 amos. You don't need 8 amos because the whole notion of tfisas hakever being 4 amos is only a din of the rabbanon. The Gemara says in Masechet Soto, if you'll be mahil on top of the mace, so that will bring tumah. So the chacham made exera that the mace is mitame kol svida. Dalet amos around the mace is mitame. Tfisas hakever is mitame. Lest the kohen will make a mistake. They'll come up so close to the mace, he'll think that he's next to the mace, but not on top of it. And really, Judge Grum has really put his nose or his hand on top of the mace and is really mitma the ohel mace. So the rabbanon made exera that you're not even permitted, the kohen is not even permitted to come within dalet amos of the mace. So one of the rabbanim that I saw said that since mikra din, most of the rishonim pasuk that mace yakama not matami the ohel, the mace serves matami the magen umasa bread. Mace yakama also matami the magen umasa. The Gemara says in the Perek Avodah Mikra. And the Ohel was a machlokes tanoim, and a machlokes a rishonim had a pasuk. So the Shulchan Aruch they say that most of the rishonim pasuk that mace yakama not matami the ohel. And that's why many hold that Mikra Din of Kohen is permitted to go into Oel HaMeis if it's only a Meis HaYakma. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Machab and the Ramo both write that we're Machma on that. We recommend to Kohanim they should not go into Oel HaMeis even if it's only Meis HaYakma. To be Choshish for the Shittas of the other Balei HaTosis or Machma, Balei HaTosis passing like the Shittas HaTanoim who hold that Meis HaYakma Mitam Bo. But still, the Shulchan Aruch says Mikra Din Meis HaYakma not Mitam Bo. So that's why one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael wrote a whole psak that since Meis HaYakam Yikra and not Matami Boyal, so the whole zero of Tfisas HaKever being Matami, Dalet Amos around it, it doesn't make sense by Meis HaYakam, so you're not going to have interlocking Tfisas HaKever if you're burying them 4.5 Amos apart from each other. So then there's no need for HaChok Eidam. You only need, it's a twist. The only need for Eidam Amos HaChok is that you shouldn't be interlocking Tfisas HaKever if it's a tzaddik next to a Russian, if they're both Jewish. What if it's a Jew? What if one is a Jew, one is a Goy, then you don't need so much hachok, then it's less hachok. I thought that was a big joke. I explained to myself, I thought that was a big joke, that he made a big mistake. But that din, that Amazon's Mitami, Kech Baalam, is that's only a din of the Rabbanan. But called the Tikkur Avon, Kei the Reis, and Tikkur, it was a din of the Reis, that it's Tvisas HaKeh the Dalam. So Chacham didn't invent from thin air, a sheer Dalam is around the maze. And if no one's a Hedron has a din of the Reis, that when you bury the Harugia Gezdin, one who was killed by the Skila, one who was killed by the Chemek, one who was killed by the Sayyid, so it more runs out from a pasuk that there's a Dunda Raisa, you have to bury the stones together with the person who was killed, but you have to bury the scarf that they choked him with, the Sugar, Shenech Mekbal, together with him, or you have to bury the sword that they chopped off his head with, you have to bury that also. So the Mara says, no, you bury him, you should the coffin? The Mara says, no, even with three sauce, it has to be buried somewhere. Bury in the coffin is actually not so nice. We should put it together with the tachlich. So the Gemara says, no, it should be within the Dawah Ramas and the Maze. So the Pashto says that that's a din d'oraisa. Even with Tvisasa, the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. That Tvisasa Maze is Dawah Ramas. With respect to any din that may possibly come up, what din come up? So there is one din d'oraisa that you have to bury the Shenechnet bow, with the Sayyid Shenerit bow, the Rebbe Shemuzka bow, even with Tvisasa. The Pashto says there's another din d'oraisa. You're not permitted to bury Tzadik Eitz HaRosha. You're not permitted to bury Yisrael Beit Zalmachri. So if you're going to say, what does it mean you're not permitted to bury one with the other? Hugging each other. It means if you bury two masons, touching each other. And if they're not touching each other, there's a mashu of a harchot between the two. Then it's not a violation of burying one next to the other. Of course it's a violation. So what's the shir going to be? So of course the shir is that the tvisas on mace is Dawah Ramas. What are you going to tell me that the whole din, Dawah Ramas around the mace is in Gansin and din the Rabban. So the only time is in Risa Gerasa, Baron Tzadik Eitz HaRosh is if you bury one mamash touching the other. If you have a half an inch separation, then it's mitzvah ma'akeh. It's a ridiculous. Of course, the shir derais is da'aram. So when the chachamim made the din d'rabbanan, they wanted to be, make a hachoka for kohanim that a kohen shouldn't come in contact with a maize. So they said he shouldn't come in contact with din da'aram of the maize because there is a din derais of da'aram. Some of our maize is considered the thesis on maize. But the Pashto says certainly maize they have also have a thesis on maize. They're not perish. But again, there is dinner to be the hachoka. This rabbi and Eitzchak didn't dispute that point. That he agreed to. That the Achraim came up with that idea. That you have to have it. He doesn't say it anymore. So on the side of the Yerudeya at Shlom Egan, the Gilead Mashal quotes one of the early Achraim came up with this shir. That the Tzadik Eitz HaRosha, the shir HaChot is Eidamis. You don't have to have it interlocking three seconds. So one could argue on that. One could ding Zahana. We say that you're not allowed to bury with interlocking three seconds. As long as the Tzadik isn't buried, in the Tvisa Sakeh, we have the Rosh. So you could argue with that, but this Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael and the Rabbi in Eretz argue with that. He's masking. He just says that that's only by Medram Amurim, but for those Jewish, then each one has a Tvisa Sakeh, and then you have interlocking Tvisa Sakeh. But if one is a Jew, one is a Goy, so the Goy doesn't have a Tvisa Sakeh, because the Goy Shemesh is not with Tami Boya, so there's no reason to make the Goy of the Rabban of Dalad Amis, so they never made it. So if they never made it, so there's no Tvisa Sakeh. So that argument is struck. If you would have said what you're saying, That's one to do. So anyway, the pastor from before the Second World War said the Pharisees not like this. Now that this rabbi wasn't aware of that. He said the Pharisees like that. This radiation, Michal Salazar, Moshe Feinstein, and several others also have the Pharisees like that. They're going next to the Jew. We require a hachoka of chesam. They said the Pharisees, you need chesam. But don't distinguish between a girl and a Jew. Saying Hesped and crying and observing Avelis is all an Indian of Kovar Abrius. The Gemara just has a shadow and it's Kovar Achaim or Kovar Amesim. Whether the Hesped is Kovar Achaim, Kovar Amesim, Machlokes in Yeruday, whether Avelis is Kovar Achaim, Kovar Amesim, makes a big nafkamina. Let's say the person before he dies tells everybody he's Machal on his cover. He doesn't want his children to be bothered that they should observe Avelis, Machal on his cover. So they can, let's say, one of the grandchildren is holding that getting married or something like that. So the grandmother is about to die, so she says, nothing on my cover, don't observe any of it. So her children, who are now in Avelis, are they allowed to go dance at the wedding or not? So that's discussed in Yerudeya. So the Ramban here, they just quotes part of the din. He says that the observance of Yigdal Chodesh Avarav Alim over and above Shiva and Shoshim, that's Mishum covered the Kibur Aviyeh, that's covered Amei. So if the Mason's Mechalan is covered, so there's no Yigdal Chodesh. And the Ramon doesn't go further to discuss what about the Shiva and what about the Shlosh. That's what Rabbi Kivege quotes on that Ramon, you're again. Rabbi Kivege quotes that that's a Machlokes HaRishonim, whether the whole institution of Aveda, Shiva and Shlosh was covered Achayim, covered Amesim. He says, we really pass from that it's covered Amesim. So should we really follow that if the Mace says his Mechalan is covered, we don't have to observe any Shiva? We should follow, we don't have to observe any Shiva. No, the poskim are not so sure that that's the way we pass. Rabbi Kivege says is machlokes the ferish, and in the other day that's how we pass. It's a whole discussion. Anyway, you guys chodesh take the ferish. That if the parents are meichel and they're covered, so you don't have to observe the you guys chodesh. A lot of people make a mistake about kavan achaim versus kavan amesim. They think that kavan amesim is a very serious thing. While a person was alive, we're often mizalvim when he's covered. And after he dies, then we're pretty careful not to be mivazim. The din is just the reverse. The din is that the kavan achaim is stronger than the kavan amesim. In fact, there is a big machlokes that we've shown in regarding kavan abiyus is deich adinim de rabbanon. The Gemara says in brachas and dachof. One kavan abiyus should deich alaseser shabateru. So the Gemara says what laseser? So the Gemara says laseser. The Gemara adinim de rabbanon are based on the passage laseser and kavan shadim lechayom and a small. So the machim kavan abiyus, one is permitted to violate adinim de rabbanon. So the reason Achlokes and Achrayim are not Gemara doesn't mean that the Machom Kavan Abiyus can violate any and every Din de Rabbanan, but does it only relate to those particular instances that are mentioned in the Gemara, but you can't generalize it, you can't apply it to more cases. The Yad Malachi has an essay about that. So the reason Machlokes and Achrayim and the Yuri quotes Machlokes and Achrayim and it's in Shulchan Aruch. This is called in Allah and the Mishnah Berurah has a big issue with that. And we say that Kavod Abiyus is Deich Adinim de Rabbanan, does it only apply to Kavod Achaim or does it even apply to Kavod Amesim? Would you be allowed to be Deich Adinim de Rabbanan in Shum Kavod Amesim? For example, the Gemara has, let's say, on Shabbos, they didn't have toilet paper, Bismarck Gemara. So they used to use up this little pebble. So these little pebbles were Muktzah, that's your Mazman and Mubodyom. So the Gemara says, what's the head if you use these little pebbles? It's the Muktzah. So the Gemara says, it's Kavod Abiyus. What, the guy's going to walk around smelling? So we shouldn't Kavod Abiyus. So that's the case of Kavod Achayim. What if you have a case of Kavod Amesim? Would you be Makri, Risurim, the Rabbanon, the Makri, Kavod Abiyus, or Kavod Amesim? So that's the Miri has that Machlokes. It comes up, Aloha Amesim, the Mishnah Berurah has it. Let's say there's a Levaya on the first day Yom Tov. So you're not permitted to do Malachas Deraisa. The Gemara says, whenever you have a funeral on the first day Yom Tov, so you have to have Arivei Amimim. You have Nochman take care of the Kura. On Yom Kippur and Shabbos, you're not even allowed to have Amir Eliyakim for the purpose of Kura. But on the first day Yom Tov, we allow Amir Eliyakim, and on the second day Yom Tov, if necessary, you even allow Arivei Yisrael. So on the first day Yom Tov, when you don't allow Arivei Yisrael, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a big machlokes. That was one of the, he mentioned the Meiri wrote this book that's entitled Modern August to defend the Minhagim of Provence. And the Ramban passed away, so the Talmidei HaRamban came from Spain to Provence in order to learn by the Gedolei HaTorah. So it was a big machlokes on different things. So the Meiri wrote a whole sefer that some people call the Shaila Shechuvos HaMeiri. It's not really the Shaila Shechuvos, it's just one long Shaila. One Shaila, who's right? Provence or Spain? Of course, like everybody always says, all of his Shechuvos is one Shaila. All one Shiva. Are the Sfardim right or wrong? And the Shiva is, needless to say, the Sfardim are always right. It's one long Shiva. All the big songs, the little songs, all the same thing. So that's what the Miri also wrote. One long Shiva, the whole thing. All the 24, I think he had 24 small essays within the Magen Avos. They're all one Shiva. Who's right? I'll say that. So he says, Magen Avos, he defends the meaning of our race. But one of the issues was this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Miri. If you have a Levi in the first day Yom Tov, and the Jews are not permitted to do Melachos Deraisa, so what about to do Melachos Deraisa? What's the issue? It's Mishum Kavod Abiyus. It's more to cover this to the Mace, that his needs should be taken care of by Jews as opposed to the non-Jews. So to drive the automobile to the, let's say, to dig the grave, he's talking about the Mishum Deraisa on Yom Tov. What about to drive the automobile? It's also Mishum Deraisa. Well, what if there's no Mishum Deraisa involved? What if just two of them? Tefillin looks at just moving the mace, or washing the body, doing the tahara, and would you allow Yisurim de Rabbanan on Yom Tov Rishon al Yom Yisrael? So some Rishonim say, sure you would allow Yisurim de Rabbanan on Yom Tov Rishon al 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 Yom Tov R And others insist that no, that Kavod HaBrius is only Matir de Rabbanans if it's Kavod HaChaim. And Kavod HaMeisim is not big machlokes. So it's clear that Kavod HaChaim is much more chomer than Kavod HaMeisim. It's not really right if we're so careful about Kavod HaMeisim, so we should certainly be so much more careful about Kavod HaChaim. So we don't feel that Kavod HaMeisim is, does have a Kavod HaTfila. The simple pshat in the Mar Brachos appears that don't have. So these Rishonim have to look their way out of that. The Rishonim that the Miri quotes are distinguished in Kavod HaMeisim. I have to give some kind of an explanation. What do you do with the Gemara? Pashtus in the Gemara and the Pashtus in the Gemara and Brachos is against them. Some rabbi called me up just yesterday morning from Canada. He has the people from his shul don't have their own, he has an Orthodox shul, it's a Muslim from Shiva University, it's all that. But they don't have their own cemetery, they have together with the conservatives and the reform. So it's very reform, they have people who converted, they're not Jewish, they're not observant, nothing. So the shadow is having better sanitary for Russia. So this rabbi said, and what's worse is that they have bodies that are cremated. Because I told him that may solve the problem. If they have mamish in their body that's intact, we have a boy next to Jew, so that's a good thing. Even Machriyetz or Yisrael, if you have a Russia next to a Tzaddik, a conservative rabbi next to an Orthodox Balakos or something like that, it's a Russia, not allowed to. But if you have a body, it's cremated. So many Pesachim say there's no body, so there's nothing there. So you're not allowed to bury a Jew next to ashes. Ashes, nothing, that's ashes. The Pashtus and the ashes are nothing. There's a whole discussion in Pesachim. Once you cremate a body, you're not allowed to cremate a body. You're about to mitzvah clearer. The question is, once you do cremate a body, is there still a mitzvah kvura on it or not? The Pashtus is certainly not. It's not the tamei. It's not called a machlokes hatanaim. The Mishnah in Oholos, in the second part of machlokes of Lezer Nechacham, where the Efer HaSrufim is mitamei or not, the repasting is not mitamei, so the Pashtus is because it's not called a mace. It's called Chadosh is Balakar, so ashes. So there's no mitzvah kvura, there's nothing. The Pashtus is that there's nothing. This Chachuda quotes that this one, I think that Yankee Fenden had a 9-5, if I'm not mistaken. So either somebody had a 9-5, but even though Ephraim's roof is not mitamei, but a kohen is not permitted to come in contact with the cremated body. The din that the kohen is not allowed to come in contact with mason is unrelated to the fact that a mason is mitamei. The two different things, that's what some say. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Mechavan Amar recommend that a kohen should not come in contact with mason yachim afilu ba'olam. I will be passing the Mikra, I've been Mesi Akim, and not Mikami Bel. So the Pesha to the answer is, there are Machma for the other opinions. The Machma for the Sheikh is Barra Tesis, the Mesi Akim, and not Mikami Bel. It's Machlet Satan, and the Machlet Sereshan, and the Pesha. So they say, no, that's not the Pesha. Not that the Machma for the other Sheikh is. The Shulchan Aruch is saying that a Kain is not permitted to come in contact with a Mesi, even in relation that the Mesi is not Mikami. Who says that the Kain is not Lay? The Pesha says, Lay Tamei. The Nefesh Leitam of Yam. So the simple reading is, you're not permitted to be Mitami yourself. But others learn, Chaimeza has like this in his Chuvus, and Chaim Dasiman, who is a brother of Chaimeza, they both have the same suggestion. That the Yisrael of the Kohen coming in contact with a Meis perhaps even applies in a situation where the Meis is not going to be going to Meilah. So that's what some Achreim pour out, that a Kohen is not permitted to come in contact with Efer HaSrufim, even though the ashes are not Mitami at all. So the Pashtus says that even if you assume like that Chaim Oizer, that there is a Misa for Kohen to come in contact with a Meis, even in America, it's not Mitami. So it is not called a Meis. Meis or Tam is not Mitami. Good, it's a Pasuk somewhere. It's not Pasuk. The Machlokes HaTanaim, we pass on the Chacham, the Eifer HaSrufim is not Mitami. Why? It's not called a Meis. A Meis Mitami. Like the Gemara asked about Eishes Loi, turned into Saul. So the Gemara had a Shaila, and the end of Midah, she metame or not. So the Gemara says, no, Hameis metame, Hamelech ain't metame. Salt is not metame. So over here also, if you burn the dead body, so Efer is not a mace. So if it's not called a mace, so you can't say that the claim is prohibited to come in contact with it. The Pashtus is like that. A cremated body is not...
even if all would say no, you certainly wouldn't say that the priest is a member of the Supreme Court.
I'll be Pashtuns. So God is re-garnished. Anyway, this is a real din. It's a big problem now. You have so many improper conversions, you have so many tzaddikates are Russian. That's why we have a din. It's not a joke that you have a din. You're not permitted to bury tzaddikates are Russian. So that's why we have separate cemetery plots. All of the people from Yeshiva University are buried in one cemetery. All the people from Yagura are buried in another cemetery. All the people from the third part are buried in another cemetery. Why? Because why go back to their original roots? No, I can't do it roots, because you assume that more or less all the people from Yeshiva University have approximately the same amount, number of others. All the people from Yagura have approximately the same number of others, more or less, than the people from Yeshiva University. All the people from Yeshiva University have approximately the same number of others, more or less than the other. We don't know who has more, who has less. We assume that more or less everybody within that category has the same number of others. We don't know. If we would know, then the Gemara says you're not permitted to bury 100 others next to 101 others. So who's keeping track? We don't know how to keep track. Sometimes people do others privately that we're not aware of. So that's the basis of that institution. That's for all time's sake. So all the people from Sivar are buried together. And all the people from Yilma are buried together. It's not for all time's sake, but we think that all the people from Sibau are more or less on the same level of religious observance. And often that's not so. We know that they're not on the same level. So then we have to not want to bury them one next to another. The mother of Natasha, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that you have two perfect glories. One from the Skolim and the Srokim, one from the Arogim and Achnokim. So the Gemara asks, how are you allowed to bury together? The Arogim and Achnokim, on the Skolim and the Srokim, but they're on different levels of barbarians. So the Gemara says that it's also a rule. Under normal circumstances, you wouldn't be allowed to. That was a special tradition that they had. It's also a rule that they had Shnei Bapik Peres HaYisham. But otherwise, if not for that special rule, it's a rule. They didn't want to be tried. You have to have a separate cemetery. If you know that there are different levels of they were doing a lot of different levels of religious observance, you have to bury them in a different cemetery. Exactly, that is the Gemara's question.
Why isn't there just a rule that everyone has to have 8 amos radius?
There's another thing, you're not allowed to bury two people in the same cavern, so the shiur hachaka for that is much less. That's also a question, what is the shiur hachaka? How much of a shiur hachaka do you need? So if I'm not mistaken, I think Ramesh Fashan has a tshuva about that. I think it's the quotes from the Gemara that all you need are three tefachim around every mace. Three tefachim is a shiur level. So each, I think each mace, in between one mace and another, I think you need six tefachim. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not talking about three tefachim to this and three tefachim to that. The Gemara has something about that. Yes, it has something. Yeah, the Imam Bar Vata has a picture. The Rajman has a picture and that could be. No, around that. The Mephash Mahomish tried to understand why Avraham Avinu had to negotiate with the Bnei Chais. Why did he have to negotiate with the Bnei Chais? Why didn't he just speak to Ephraim Achiti? Some of the Balei HaTosfos and Chumash write that the Ebon Achiti has this house across the street. I want to buy a house and convert it into a cemetery. So there's zoning laws. You can't make a cemetery in the middle of a residential area. Can't even make a yeshiva in the middle of a residential area. There are a lot of things, there are limitations that you can do. So that's why he spoke to Ephron Achiti to buy the building, and then he spoke to the town council to clear up with the zoning regulations. Because like this, you're not permitted, the Pashto says that you shouldn't be permitted to make a cemetery. The city had to give him special permission. The Kan Yochus and Chumash has Harifas, everything has its Harifas. Kan Yochus has Harifas. So he has a different Mahalach. He says, the Pasuk says, V'Efron Yosher B'Soch B'nei Chais. What's the significance of saying the serpent I chayitz, but his plot, his Moraz HaMachpelah, was in the middle of Hebron. The houses were all around. people who moved there around was out of Pale. It wasn't that beyond the whole city. We had a lot of neighbors. If you have neighbors, there is a dinner of Jimmy Bar Mitzvah. But if I buy your house or your plot, and then the neighbor is unhappy, and he says, well, it's not fair. He wouldn't want to extend his house. He wants to have a bigger field. So then he can trust me to surrender the field to him. We come under the Bar Mitzvah. So that's what the front office says. But over here, the pasuk says that from Yosef says, but he lived in the middle of the city, where the people would have a time of Bar Mitzvah. So that's why Avraham Avinu had to speak not only to Ekron, he had to speak to the Bnei Chais. And he told the Bnei Chais, I want you to help me buy the field. So if they're helping him buy the field, I want you to have a time of Levi and the Bar Mitzvah. They were more about assisting, the fact that they were assisting him. And they quote the name of the Biskarab, of other Salavetchik, another interpretation, that the Pasuk says that if the Avraham, only if the Avraham Avinu brought the field, ויוכלס דרכן אשר במכפלו. זה באיש מעבר מלכן, ואיש כרבון מלכן עשה כסף, ויוכלס דרכן אשר במכפלו, יגדור את הפיון, ויעבון מלכן ליהן בגלל חייס, כי אחר יקן, איך תהי בורד את כל הרבון מסלו אשתה, איך תהי פייפר, איך תהי מסכן את, then he buried his wife. Why did he have to pay first, and then buried his wife? Why did he pay? The Gemara has a Russian in Barabas, and tell it to Yesh Nechon, that it's not, there are heretz, nimtzer tzadik, cover the kevish and shalom. It's going to turn out that the tzaddik is buried in a kever that didn't belong to him. So first he was insistent on paying for the kever, and then he got it. That's why there's a minig in Europe. There's still a minig in many places like that, but the cheret hagish always charges money for everybody, even if a very prominent person dies, and it's a cover for them to have this tzaddik buried in their cemetery. So still, they'll always insist that the yoshim have to pay for the kever before they bury the person. No, that it should not be tzaddik covered the kever shani shalom. That's the expression that the Gemara uses. The quote from Avraham, that's why the pasuk says that he bought the field and it belonged to him. The achri yechayim, and only afterwards did he bury his wife. But then the next pasuk says, after he bought the field, then he buried his wife, then he acquired ownership of the field. What does that mean? It's like, so then he bought the field. How many times after saying, bought the field? And then he buried his wife, and then he says, now he got the field. So that's what they talk about all the salvations, that the poskim had, and every day the poskim have a concept that it's not proper, even if the cemetery is a Jewish cemetery, it belongs to the Jews, the Kodesh and Kodesh and Shalayim, but still there is a principle of Dina Machus Adina. But the government, now it's not together. The Gemara has in the second period in Sanhedrin, sometimes the government has a right to confiscate property. Let's say they decide they're going to make a big highway in Washington Heights. And they want to knock down the whole Yeshiva University. And the city council decides that it's so important that it's more important than the whole Yeshiva University. So they have a right to have to pay Yeshiva $5 for the buildings, whatever the buildings are worth. But they have a right to take all the property. That's not law. So the Pesachim say that it's not proper to bury in a cemetery, even if the cemetery belongs to Jewish people, if you know that the government is going to take it away later on, convert it into an amusement park or into a highway or something later on. So you should try to see to it to the best of your ability that you should bury people in a place where not only does it belong to you now, but it will remain as a cemetery for a long, long time in the future. So it won't be converted into something else. So that's what Avraham Avinu interpreted in the Pesukim over here. Why did Avraham Avinu have to speak to the Bnei Chais? What is it that business? He wanted to buy the Malach HaMachel. It belonged to Ephron Achiti. So buy from Ephron. Why do you have to buy from the Bnei Chais? He says he bought from Ephron that it should be Tzadik Kovah B'Kadosh Yerushalayim. And that's what the passage says, that after he acquired ownership, the Yochum Slay Ephraim Hashem Nachtel, the Avraham Nikne, the Achrechem Kav Avraham Asar Ishtar, Amoras Nachtel. After he owned it, then he buried it. But then he was negotiating with the Bnei Chais, he wanted them to make an agreement with him, to sign a contract, that they would never convert this into a highway, or into a mall, or into an amusement park or something. So then it says that you can take care of later if you think you're going to swing the deal. If you don't know whether you'll succeed in convincing them, so then you don't bury the mace there in the first place. But if it seems that you are going to convince them, so the signing of that contract doesn't have to take place before the clear. It's not a violation of Kadosh and Mishalai. I just want to secure that you should remain the base of voice loyal. So that's the next person. first he brought from Ephron, and then he got it Lachuzas. Lachuzas means that it's going to remain forever. Lachuzas means that it goes be Rusha the Derodeiros, and that was Mary's Meiches, that he spoke to the townspeople to get a deal with them, to get a contract, to make a kinyan, that it should never be taken away. And now they're giving it away. Don't believe, now they're giving it away. Some Shulman wrote an article in an Israeli newspaper. A Jewish fellow wrote an article. He would pay the Arabs $1,000 to take this stinking Morris and Apel away, give them an extra few dollars that they should bomb it with dynamite to destroy the whole thing. Why? It's unbelievable. I used to live in Philadelphia, so we used to walk on Shabbos. I used to live near the center of town, so on Shabbos we used to walk to Betsy Ross's house, where she stitched the American flag, the Independence Hall, where they cracked the Liberty Bell. These are the famous foundation of America. We have the other foundation, Abraham, George Washington, and Abraham Lincoln, and Benjamin Franklin. I mean, you look up to the other foundation in a secular sense. Every country looks up in a secular sense to the founders, the founding fathers. He's up to Christmas and said, they don't want to look up to Avraham Avinu with the Maras and Apel, and nothing. They want to break their tie with the Tez. Unbelievable. There were Chalutzim years ago, there were secular Zionists who were making fun of the religious Jews, that many religious Jews are not interested in coming to Eretz Yisrael to live here and work on the kibbutzim and be Maras. No, you're just coming to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. They come to live out the last years to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So he once made this complaint to Rabbi Cook. So he said, it's not so terrible. It's also a wonderful madrega. We find in the Torah that the first thing that Avraham Avinu brought in Eretz Yisrael was a Beis HaTzvoros. Then later on, he buys them later on. Yitzchak and Yaakov, they buy everything. The first thing was the cemetery plot. Wherever you have your ancestors buried, that's where you're going to have an achuzah. Who's the fellow? The Gemara says back in the end of Sufis, I know then the Kofasa, Yachamisa, the Kofasa Mechaim, the Gemara says one who's buried in Eretz Yisrael acquires a Kaporah. The Gemara comments on the Kofasa, the Chippa Adnosa Yamoi, that by being buried in Eretz Yisrael, the Adoma gives Kaporah to the Am. The Chippa Adnosa, the Poshup Shat, is not like that. Rashi gives Poshup Shat on the Kofasa. The Chum had an additional level of interpretation, and that Kofasa, the Chippa Adnosa Yamoi. So the Gemara says, but in Adon, the Kofas Allah HaMisa, the Kofas Mechaim, if a person comes to Eretz Yisrael and he lives there, a productive life, so that's more Mechilas Adon, it's more Kofas, but even if one comes Allah HaMisa. Allah really uses such a strange lesson, Gev Yisrael Anochi Yimochim, what kind of an expression is that? It's like a contradiction. Yeah, the Tosh of Anochi Yimochim. So Rashi quotes from the Rashi gives the Pashup Shat, and he quotes from Medrash. Very difficult passage. Rav Soloveitchik on different occasions used to give the Rashis on this. In fact, I think he himself wrote that more than once in the different, the five, six different books that they printed Rashis from Rav Soloveitchik. And this passage, that this is referring to the relationship between the Jews and the non-Jews. It's really a big problem. How do we relate to the non-Jews? It's a serious problem. How do we relate to the non-Jews? Avraham Avinu says it's a dual relationship. It's a ger and a teshuv. A lot of things we have in common with the goyim. We're working on conservation of energy, we're working on ecology, we're working on security of the country, we're working on economy, we're working on all kinds of things, police protection, whatever. But then a lot of things are a gear. We have absolutely nothing to do with them. And we shouldn't make a mistake and think that basically we're human beings, but we keep the mitzvahs. It's not so. There are a lot of areas in our lives where we are gear. Absolutely have no shaykhs whatsoever with the other people. Even in a nice, not talking about thinking. Talking about nice Einstein you're going. Nice, decent way. Still, this is gear. It's in Gansen, Mereret Shechaita. They're from a different planet. The Jews are sometimes have to relate to the Goyim in a sense that we're mamash from a different planet, we have nothing to do with them. And some things we do have a shackles with them. We have to be very careful. If we're not going to know when it's Ger, when it's Tosha, then I'm going to fall in. Then everything is going to be Tosha except for the Tayyad Mitzvahs, then we won't observe the Mitzvahs either. Rashi quotes the Medrash HaGoyim, Tirtzu Hareini Ger, Bin La, Be'yot Tosha. The Edmanim and Adin. Shomali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vizal Chaitan, Esaret Hazos. Yitutu, Harein Ger, Vimla, Reyekosh. Sergio Fluini Cohen has all kinds of bad luck, very sharp. He's one sharper than the other one. So he has a Miss Mary Shabari, he has a Harif and Kitab Shah, it's not the real Pashab Shah. He says, Adam Abin was Miss Nasa Basara Musiyanis. And this was one of them. But his brother Cohen is giving him a son, then when it's time to bury his wife, passed. So he has a whole Asik, he has to pay a fortune to get the Morrison of Faith. So the Midrashim say this was one of the Asara Musiyanis. So what he says, so what Avraham Avinu tells him is, if you'll be nice enough to give me the sanitary cloth, then I will not have only a seven Messianist, I won't have none. It's going to come so easy, then I have any gift, then I don't get out of the search. I don't get out of the search if I do 10 Messianist, that's locher, if the Messiah is not, if you're going to give me our time, then this will be the 10th Messiah, then I have any patient, then I will, then I get out of the search. So they gave him a hard time. Or he gave himself a hard time. He said that he gave himself a hard time. And he shelled out all the money. So then Avraham Avinu had all the Asara Messianis and he got the Eretz Yisrael. The Torah gives a long Arichas Dvarim about the Shidduch of Yitzchak with Rivka. The way he sent Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer to find the Shidduch. It says that he sent Asara Gemalim and Gemali Adonov. What do you need 10 camels for? And the Torah Shlomo, he has a collection of all kinds of midrashim, so he quotes a medrash, Mikan! He really didn't need 10 camels to carry. They weren't taking so much food, especially the medrash says he had pizza there, he got there the same day. So they didn't really spend so much time, they didn't need 10 camels loaded down with food. So the medrash that the Torah Shlomo quote says that he really needed a million of people to be said with his service. Because the pasuk says, "Vayvach es Rivka," and places in the first parak in Ksubis, quotes from a medrash of the people who have learned that, that we recited Masechta, that they recited Bircha Seirusin at that time. So in order to recite Bircha Seirusin, you need a minion. That's why they sent 10 camels. They needed 10 people. That they had 10 camels in order to have 10 people. L'chatchil you're machmer for that you have a minion for Bichas Yachsin. Legal Adin, you don't need a minion, you just need a minion for Bichas Nisuin. If you don't have a minion for Bichas Nisuin, you just don't say Bichas Nisuin. That's the question. What if you don't have a minion, and you don't say the Bichas Nisuin, can you do a Nisuin without Bichas Nisuin? Should you say the Brochas Anach Miyakei, but you say no. The Loshin of Masechas Kala is the Kala of Lord Brocha, Asur Lebailu Kenido. So then with the Rabban, Kala B'lei Brocha, Asur Lebailu Kenido. So is that to be taken literally, Kala B'lei Brocha? If you didn't recite the Brochas Nisuin, then she's Asur Lebailu. And the thing is that you need a minion in Kulim for Brochas Nisuin. For the Brochas Erison, it says if there's any slight inconvenience, so then you don't try to get the minion. But for Brichas Nisuin's not. So some are showing that's a machlek is the Rajman of the Shem and heaven has it. If you don't have a minion and you don't, you're not able to recite Brichas Nisuin, do you say Kala B'lei Brocha is to be taken literally? So if your husband is going to be asked in the Ishta, or do you say no? B'lei Brocha is just make a chuta without the Brichas Nisuin. Brocha is an Ahmiya, okay? That's a shah sometimes comes up on Rahul Mai, so a guy's going to be a chaplain in the American Army, he's going to be in Honolulu or somewhere, just not in a. And a Jewish soldier wants to marry a Jewish girl there. Where did this Jewish girl come from? I don't know. And he's just not going to have a minion. So the question is, when they get married to the Bichas Erusin, you can say, but then it's like you can say Bichasin, but if the Bichasin soon cannot be recited, so are you allowed to tell them that they can live together, or do you have to import 10 Jews to constitute a minion? That's a big enough like that. In the days of the Rishonim, there used to be a minute that some people had when one would be Mekadosh and Isha, Idei Shaliach, and the Shlech would recite the Birchas Erusin, as he's about to give over the ring to the Kala, on behalf of the Chosen, on behalf of the Shalech, but some had a minute that when the Kala would come back with the Shliach to move to the community where the Chosen lives, the Chosen would repeat again, he would give a ring again, say Hayat Mekadosh is Shliach. Repeat again the Birchas Erusin. So Maharam Rutenberg writes in his Chubas, a collection of Chubas, that that's a Bracha L'Atala. And you're not allowed to do that. And not only the Bracha is a Bracha L'Atala, it's not proper to give another ring because people will come to be mefakpik in Kiddushin HaYashliach. They think that Kiddushin HaYashliach is not valid, and it's not true. You cannot call Geshlech Mekidushin. So he's opposed to the whole meaning from the beginning to the end. If not proper to give another ring, then it's certainly forbidden to repeat the Brichas Eris, and it would be a Bracha Vakal. And Yosef Engel, in his Gelyon HaShas on Kiddushin, beginning of the second period, tries to be the Asher Dominic. Even in Mount Rittner told that his mom is highly improper, he tries to be the Asher a little bit. So he quotes Rashi in the end of Masech HaShabbos, commenting on the Gemara. Rashi usually doesn't add too much to the Gemara. So Rashi comments that the Gemara meant to say that if you appointed a shluch to be Magdish of Behemoth for you as a carbon, since there is a concept of mitzvah yosem of the shluchah, so even though your shluch is magdish the carbon already, with the rabbanon, there's a mitzvah that you should be re-magdishing again. You should be magdishing again. You know, it's not going to be chal, the shluch, you already appointed a shluch to take out a behemoth to set it aside and to be magdishing. So the magdishing is chal already. So what are you going to accomplish by taking this same behemoth and saying, hey, is a shlomim, is a carbon pesach? But it comes, it already was, the kedusha was already chal. The Rashi learns in the Gemara, the end of Shabbos, but still, since mitzvah bevi yosem v'shlom, so it's a mitzvah l'hagdisho. Like you have such a din by Pchor, the firstborn Zohar that's born, is Kodesh Me'eiroth, and still, Shabbos Rebbe Ho Yomim, Pchor, Shiloh Pchor Tagdish L'Hashem Al-Kev. So Rebbe says, mitzvah l'hagdisho, it's a mitzvah to recite that it should be Kodesh, even though it already is Kodesh. So here also, Rashi learns in the Gemara, it's a mitzvah to be Mekadosh, mitzvah to be Magdish again the same way. So Yosef Engel suggests that since there are a few Gemaras in Stake and same Rishonim, which seem to indicate that Kiddushin is that there's some kind of a form of Hakdasha, there is some issue of Hakdasha involved in getting married. So therefore, the Gemara says that the mitzvah by Yosef and Mishlucha applies to getting married. So therefore, that mitzvah with the Rabbanan, that the Rashi writes at the end of Shabbos, even if the Shluch was already Magdish the Korban, but it's still a mitzvah with the Rabbanan, that the Bala Behemah should be Magdish it again. So perhaps some Rishonim know that that applies even to marriage. And it's Shach to say a Bracha, and Birchas Eris, and on a mitzvah with the Rabbanan. Not only on a mitzvah with the Rashi, even on a mitzvah with the Rabbanan. He tries to be the Asher Minig. Mahmut Meg has the held that it was an improper Minig. But Yosef Engel, who lived hundreds of years later, suggests a Yeshiva Minig. Anyway, what's the moral of the story here? And Pasha's highly served for people. When you're about to get married, what are you supposed to look for? So it doesn't say that he looked for the girl's looks. The Pasuk says, Shabbat HaShem. Of course, you're not supposed to marry a girl whom you can see ugly. You're going to consider the girl, are you going to love the girl later on? The Gemara says the Hatar Ahu Kamecha applies to all Jews, but not equally. It's supposed to love all Jews not equally. The Gemara says the Hatar Ahu Kamecha applies to your wife more so than to someone else's wife. You have to love your own wife more than your next door neighbor's wife. More than other people as well. And the Pasuk says in the Chumash that Yitzchak first married Rivka. By the way, Yitzchak Aroha was Sarah Rivka, Sarah Imo, and then it says that he loved her very much, by Yahavel, right before Shishi, the end of the fifth Aliyah. By the way, Yitzchak Aroha was Sarah Imo, Yitzchak Aswit, Batil Alisha, by Yahavel. After he married her, then he loved her very much. Not like today, that people could have to be madly in love with the girl before they propose before they're going to be madly in love with the girl. Like madly in love. If you're not married first, you can't be so long. You have to pick a girl whom you think it's shy that you should be very much in love with. So if you're going to pick an ugly girl, Mr. Tommy, you're not going to have any physical attraction. You have to pick a girl who appears to you to be attractive. But the main thing the Torah tells us you have to look for is chesed. That's the mashal that the Rabbanim in Europe used to give all the time. When two bachim come to learn in the yeshiva and their roommates in the dormitory, so you're going to have problems. One guy has smelly toes, and one guy snores at night, and he keeps the other guy awake, and he's sloppy, and he doesn't put his clothes in the drawer, and doesn't make his bed, and he's dirty, and he leaves over crumbs on the desk, and he leaves his homework, everything is sloppy. So you have a problem. You have a problem matching up roommates, and they're not going to be married. They're not living mamish together. They're just in two different beds. In the same room, you have problems matching up people. So certainly more so if you have a husband and a wife, you're going to live together a long, long time. They plan to live. So you have to make sure that the other guy is about the boy or the girl. Is about chesed. About chesed is a person who's going to bend a little bit, or compromise a little bit. So that's why And the Yezer Eved Avraham was testing the girl to see if she's the right one, to see if she's a Bala Chesed. Bala Chesed, she's going to give food for the bangers and food to him. That's the one who's the good Shidduch. You have to look for family background. Avraham Avinu insists, he refuses to let his son marry anybody from Bnei Sknan. Has to be a girl from his family. His family will have the Avraham Avinu. That's what the Ram talks about in the Drushas around his family. What's the Yichas? The Ram of his own had people in Eretz Yisrael who were Gaelim. So why did he want his son Yitzchak to marry one of the fine girls who was a Bas Gaelim? Why did he want the bigger Yichas is to marry the Bas Eber of his own? That when Eliezer comes, Lavan has to tell him, Pinisi Abayis, I took out all the idols. In your honor, I took out the Eber of his own. Actually quotes in the marriage. Pinisi Abayis, my Eber of his own. So the Rani asked that, so he answers that Hashkofa and Amuna doesn't go in the genes. Just because Anefesh HaShoras HaBukhan, just because the parents were Maminim, just because Avraham Avinu succeeded in convincing them about monotheism, doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to go over in the genes to the children. But Hesed does go over in the genes. Midi Stavis, he says, does go over. It's the question whether that's true or not. So the Rani claims that it's true, and he says that that's what this passage is telling us. Avraham Avinu felt, even though the members of his family were of the other reserve, the Hashkafas were terrible, the Hashkafas became straightened out, but the Midas cannot be straightened out. So he felt that his family were Bari Midas. That's why he insisted on Yichas. The Yichas is that they should be Bari Midas. Of course, if they're even Bari Hashkafas, also, they're even monotheistic people. If they have Arakha and if the Bastam of Chacham is good about it. But if it's a choice between looks and meters, a lot of people should. They should have somewhere else. So the Hasidim say that we see from this passion that if a boy is interested in a girl, and the girl gives him a hard time, and the girl's been going to give him a hard time, so you don't keep on chasing and chasing and chasing. They say, no, it's no, the girl, you don't take out someone else. You don't keep on pushing your way. There are those who don't agree with the Sefer Chassidim. I don't know how successful the Yom HaLeich. The Sefer Chassidim says that that's what the Torah comes. Let the Yom HaLeich know. They say, no, it's not, the girl. Sometimes you go on to play hard to get, that's a different thing. She's not playing hard to get. She's not playing hard to get. She really means no. So the Sefer Chassidim says, no is no. You gotta say, go get a different shidduch. The Pasuk says that when Avraham requested of the Eved that he should find a shidduch for him, so Eliezer asked, what if the girl doesn't want to come there? It's Israel, she wants to live with Florence. So the thing is that Lumatov Elisa Isha, you're permitted to leave her at Israel. So he says, yeah, that's very bad luck. Not for my son Yitzchak. Yitzchak is an Oila Tmima, he's not permitted to leave her at Israel. Like a Korban, we were discussing yesterday, every Korban has a Makam in his mind. So if you take a Chutz from Koma, it'll be Nifso Biyotze. So Yitzchak was like a Korban, he was an Oila Tmima. His Makam was there at Israel. If you take Mechutz to Eretz Yisrael, he'll be new Sovi Yitzis. He says, my son can't be Eretz Yisrael when Matar of Nisa Isha. No, while it's alive, before you did any Avedis, then it cannot be Nifsal B'Yotzeh. But here the Avedis, obviously the Avedis that were done to the idol were considered as if they had been done to Yitzchak. Otherwise, if no Avedis had been done to Yitzchak, so then it's not going to be Nifsal B'Yotzeh. That's the Midrashim, and the Gemara has in different places in the Shemus, Apashah Yitzchak, Sabah, Adavi on his back. But the issues of Yitzchak are sitting down on his back, Mufar HaKadosh Baruch, and he doesn't have to be reminded about Yitzchak. Rashi quotes it at the end of the Chukosa, at the end of the Telchuk. It says, Mufar is B.C. Yaakov, the Apha is B.C. Yitzchak, Rav is B.C. Avraham, Eskov, or Eretz Eskov. So Rashi quotes from the Sifua, and that passage, why does it have the verb Vizachati by Yaakov? But Yitzchak doesn't say Lashon Zechir, the verb doesn't appear. But Avraham does. Zechir is B.C. Yaakov, Yaakov is B.C. Yitzchak. Rabbi B.C. Avraham is called. The verb appears twice, by Yaakov and by Avraham. Why not by Yitzchak? Lashon quotes from the Sefer that Zechir is only by something which is not here. Why? He's got a student that he didn't know, and he left the Shia. So remember that student, yeah? He told us about the Russians, my brother. He's got a student, so he's not here. They're not books, the Yeshiva are right there in front of the Rebbeinu. Afik Tzavra Mordechai Gabi, he doesn't have to say, I will remember Yitzchak Avinu. The Yeshiva are there. What do you mean the Yeshiva are there? He will never burn. So the Rebbeinu will say, you see from these Mishenas and the Midrashim, that the Hakrava of the Ayah was considered as if it was Chal on Yitzchak. And the Midrashim said like that, when Avraham Avinu did the Shechit on Yam, he said, this should be considered, Yiratzim Ofanachal, this should be considered as if I did the Shechit on Yitzchak. And then we did the Kabbalah Saddam, and the Hanocha Saddam, and the Zvika Saddam, and the Haktorah. Every step of the way, he said, Yiratzim Ofanachal, this should be considered as if I did on Yitzchak. So obviously they assumed that the Avraham done to the Ayah were considered as if they were done to Yitzchak. Right, so that's why Yitzchak was not only considered an Ayah, he was considered an Ayah Lacha Shechit. So after the Shechita, then he could be Nifsad Yotze. So when Eliezer asked this question about Avraham Avinu, what do I do if the girl doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael? Should I tell the girl's family that your son will move here? So Avraham Avinu says, absolutely not. For sure, I cannot. So when Eliezer has that question, he says, Ulai lo sebehu ishala lecha sacharai. Ulai. And the word Ulai is written chosavot. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that when Eliezer asked the question, he had in mind a lie. That he had a daughter, and he was thinking that maybe someday Yitzchak will marry his daughter. A lie. So the question will ask, why is it that pasuk appears twice? The first time it appears when the Torah said that Eliezer was speaking to Avraham Avinu, there it's written, Alevav Lamadu, there it's written, follow you. Moregov. And only the second time when Eliezer tells over the whole, Eliezer relates the whole story to the family, to the girl's family, only then is it written Chosavot. How come the first time it's not written Chosavot? Did he have this in mind when he spoke to Avraham Avinu? We give different comments on this. There's a famous comment from Mendel Kotzke Rebbe. He says when a person has an idea, the Shas Maisi, he doesn't even realize that he has an idea. He thinks that he's believing it. It's all the time like that. A person gives you his opinion and he says, I'm saying this believing it. He doesn't realize he has an idea on that also. That's what he said that he's believing it. Only afterwards, Avraham Avinu says, absolutely no. Under most circumstances, Rashi quotes in the Mesh, hey, no, I'm Zdafik, the Baruch. It's not Shaykh to Abishida. Because Neach gave a curse to Orkanan, Eber Avam Yili, Yaakov, so those who are descendants of Khan, of Cham, Khan, are cursed. And Shem was given a blessing. And Avram Avinu was a descendant of Shem. So the Shem should marry Orkanan is Enorm is Tabit Mikorach. It's not Shaykh. An intermarriage like this is not Shaykh. So after Eliezer hears that it's not going to work, so then, in retrospect, then he realizes that when he asked Avraham Avinu originally, what's going to be if the girl doesn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael? So he realizes that that's what was in the back of his mind. That was really what was in the back of his mind. Shas Maisim was asking Avraham Avinu, he didn't even realize that was in the back of his mind. But later, when he understood that it's just not going to work, so later when he tells over the story to the family of Rivka, then he says, Ulai Chosavot. The first time he didn't even realize that it was Chosavot. That's a report from Amendel of Chosavot. Others suggest a different mahalach. I think some Rishonim have this pshat, that he doesn't realize on his own that Ein Orem is Tabik B'Baruch. So the first time when speaking with Avraham Avinu, he said, Ulai. He said, Ulai with her vav. He never had Armina that his daughter would marry Yitzchak. But when he came to Aram Naharayim, and they welcomed him into the house, so he said, Bo Baruch Hashem. So it dawned upon him, hey, maybe I'm a baruch. They called me a rabbi. And then went to the yeshiva, he really didn't know anything. Then he goes and takes his position, asking the sticks, and the Balbatim thinks the chief rabbi are all right, so he starts to believe it also. So that's what happened to Eliezer. I think some Balei HaTosfos says it over here. That's what happened to Eliezer. He knows he's in error. He knows how many that his daughter is going to marry Yitzchak. But then he comes over here and they say, Bo Baruch Hashem. So they call him a baruch. So he starts to think, hey, hello. Maybe I have a chance of, maybe if she wanted to do it for the shidduch, maybe I have a chance of my daughter marrying Yitzchak. They give all kinds of suggestions. Why the first Dubai is Malaga? Why is it only the second time when he tells over the story? Rashi quotes in the Medrash that originally the seer was still alive. Originally the seer was alive, the father, and then after all of a sudden the father disappears, and then it says, Vayomer Achiha V'Imo. And then the brother, Lavan, with the mother, are doing all the negotiations. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash, the father died in the middle of the whole story. Interesting, we have a dream. The Medrash Rashi quotes another Medrash that Rivka was very, very young at the time that she got married. She was a Tana. We have an institution of Kiddushei Miyum. We have a Kiddushei Tana. Shehisiyua ima viachel. If a mother or her brothers marry her off, so the Chacham is doing Kiddushei Rabban. But I tell you, there's only Kiddushei Tana if the Chacham marries her off. You can decide for each other. The Rabban have also ima viachel. So there is a Machlokes HaRishonim in the end of Yevamos. And those Gemara's in Perek Shammai, where they have a lot of dinam about Miyum, so the reason Achleikus HaRishonim there, can the girl do her own Kiddushin Miyum? If her mother and her brothers can marry her off, so the Chalitza Kavachamah, she can marry herself off. Because if her mother and her brothers marry her off and she says no, and she doesn't like it, then it's not good. No, it's not. It's only good if she's masking her Achleikus, she's masking her with herself. Any time before she becomes a Bela, she can do Miyum and then break up the whole marriage. So obviously when the mother and the brother marry her off, she's masking. So if she's masking, so what does she need the mother and the brothers for? So it means that they initiated it, they wetted the shit out. They were encouraging her. Yeah. But what if she marries herself? Well, so most of the Rishon Rabbah, it's Kavachem that it's good. And the Shulchan Jibarim comes up with this Einfall, no, only Ina V'Yachel. If she marries herself, well, it is not Shaykh at Takana G'Rabbana, whoever has got a plan, she marries herself, well, a plan is allowed by Das. Ina V'Yachel, they are B'nai Das. According to the Shulchan Jibarim, you understand why the Mar talks about but according to the other Rishonim, that if she marries herself off a certain group, so why does Gemara always talk about Ima V'Yachel? Does someone want to say it? Because it's based on the emotional apostolic over here. I think it's in the Revil HaZohar. That's the Sefer that the Perek Nima always follows. And where the Ma'am comes from. So he makes that suggestion, I think, on this parasha. The reason why the Gemara always has the Lashon, Ima V'Yachel, you could say simply, that it's a bigger Chiddush. If it's Dasha V'Yatzma, it's a Kavachayma, it's certainly good. So even Ima V'Yachel, even though she's not opposed to the marriage, but she didn't really initiate the marriage. So I think he says a different situation. He says, no, because that's the Lashon HaPasuk in Chumash. It says Ima V'Yachel, and she happened to be Rivka, according to the marriage. She happened to be a little girl. She was a Tana. That was the meaning, could be, but that was the meaning of his Malatana. It's also bad. As Rivka was about to leave the home, Vayom Elo Achel Seno, Ata Yili Alfeir Gavo, Yirash Zarech Eishar Seno. He gave her a blessing. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you go to do the Badekin, he's supposed to give you Kala Bracha. It says the Rabbanim who go to participate in Badekin are supposed to give the Bracha. Achel Seno, Ata Yili Alfeir Gavo. They don't say that the enemies with that they don't mention the second half of the Pasuk. They mention the first half of the Pasuk, but they say a Lashon HaPasuk like the Pasuk that appears in Rus. You're supposed to give a bracha at the time of Badekin. We have a meaning that the Kala wears a veil when she marches down the aisle. There's some Ephraim on Ebenezer claim that it's based on the Pasuk in this segment. That after Rivka already had Eris and she didn't have Nisuin, the Nisuin had to be done in person with the Yitzchak. You can't do Nisuin, I go Shliach, but she's going to have the Eliezer stand on the canopy. So Shlomo Shalom Kumaris is considered as if I'm Yitzchak. Eliezer cannot represent Yitzchak to do the Kiddushin. He didn't represent him to do the Nisuin. So the Pasuk says that he did the Nisuin in person. At least Rivka is saying, that Eris Yitzchak, that people may have a Gomo. And she said, who's that fellow? And then Eliezer says, that's your husband. the genesis. But Kripa had Sarah his cross because she knew she was about to have Nisuan with her husband. She covered her face with a veil. And that is that we do it because that's what the meaning was there. What was that all about? Shouldn't see this. That the marriage shouldn't be a vulgar marriage. She shouldn't be so much about her looks. It shouldn't just be a physical relationship. So they cover up her face to show that it's a spiritual relationship. Maybe that's why. And Shokunar gave another problem why they cover up the covered face, having nothing to do with this passage at all. Because the Gemara has a good in the first part of Kiddushin, if the Kala thought that the guest of Kiddushin is worth a $5,000 ring, then it turns out that it's fake. It's only worth $2. It's an imitation garment. So it says the Shofar, even though $2 is also good for Kassi Kedushin, it's way more than a Shofar Pruta. But the Kaaba thought that it's a fortune. It turned out to be next to nothing. So that's a lack of Snicha Kass. So that's why Kassi said, we have a meaning that when I'm a Kaddish Bitaba, Shia, Shalera, Evan, we don't use stones for Kedushin purposes. We just use a plain band. And a plain band, how wrong can you be? How rough can you be? $30, $50, no, no, it's not such a big difference. Not to make such a big mistake. So they say in Shulchanot that we have another money that we cover up the cow's face and she shouldn't even be able to see what he's giving us. So she can't make a mistake to think that he gave her something worth more. He just knows that she just knows he's giving her a ring. But she doesn't really see the ring so well. Yeah, it depends what kind of a veil you have. Sometimes the veil's so thin, she can see everything. You can see through the veil, you can see her face, and she can see the ring also. So that's one of the reasons that's given the Shulchanot for the meaning of having the cow's face, that she shouldn't see. You shouldn't see the ring, so there shouldn't be any lack of smith on that. Then I have a third meaning. Another meaning in Shulchanot. We have not to use a stone and to cover the Kaaba's face, so she won't be a Tama smith on that. Then I have a third meaning. But the rabbi here asks, the Eidim, is it Shavakuta? Is the ring Shavakuta? And then the Eidim look at it and they say, yeah, Shavakuta. What is that, spiel? What is that term spiel all about? But I must say, that they're supposed to say it loud enough and in a language that the Kala understands. If they're mumbling, talking in English, and the Kala doesn't hear, she doesn't understand what they're talking about, then they're not Yotze. They're not supposed to talk and learning under the Chuppah. They're supposed to say it loud enough that the Kala can hear, that she should understand that even if it turns out that it's only worth a puta, she's also masking to the Kiddushin. That's what the Ramah says. The Pashto said that all of this should be taken care of before the rabbi says the Bichas Erisin. When we discussed already the Bichas Erisin, according to the Rambam, that we're machmir for his opinion, the Bichas Erisin is a Bichas Hamid, so that's to be recited over Asiyasa. And over Asiyasa means not Kaidim, but it means over me, can you fool? Like, Fuki over the other shouldn't be way in advance. So let's say the rabbi is going to recite Bichas Erisin, and the Chasam Kaya is going to drink the wine, says, but they're going to drink the wine. And then you're going to start announcing the Eri Kedushin Ha, the Eri Kedushin Shikana. And then you say, you want to look at the ring. You start the whole speech as Yishar Puta. So it's the Chalom Hepsit. It's a long pause in between the Bichas service. Fair enough that you're drinking the wine in between. So that you have no choice. You say, the minute you added the garden means the tool that you recite Bichas service and Allah Yayin. His Malik Mother didn't have that practice. But the garden means the tool that Bichas service is reciting Allah cause. So if you say it all across, then you have to drink it. But then right after you drink it, you should say, how do I can give over the ring? So the singling out of the Eri Kedushin with the checking of the ring and the asking if it's his ring, did he buy with his own money or whatever other interrogations the rabbi wants to do, is it a shadow proof? Everything should be taken care of before the rabbi starts to say the Bichas Erisin. There's no reason that it can't be taken care of before. If you didn't do it before, but the other there's a bin. Let's say if you blow a shofar and it doesn't work. You said a bracha b'shema kol shofar and you start to blow and blow, it doesn't work. And nothing comes out. And I need another shofar. And they don't understand. So I start, they don't understand. I say, please get me another shofar. Yeah, you have no choice. If it's l'tzorech ha-mitzvah, then there's no dinah kasher. But it's not l'tzorech ha-mitzvah. I know in advance that this shofar is not going to work. I say, this shofar is no good, get me another shofar. I should say that before I said it, here also. I know in advance that I have to ask, is it a shofar puta? And did you buy it with your own money or whatever other witnesses, kosher, other shofar shabbos, are they related to each other, related to the chazaka? So all of the interrogation should really be done before. Someone say, you see from the pasuk here, that a girl who only had eyes and doesn't have to cover her hair. That's the question. The Gemara has a ring and a married woman has to cover her hair, So when do they have to start covering their heads? It's a bit not like this. Many are going to say, why do you have to innocent? Why do you have to the chasm? Why do you give the ring? She has to have a hair cover. And others disagree, and they say, no, only after the Nisun. That's Hakam Avadia, Paskins and his Jews. He says, how come they have a meaning that the girl doesn't cover her head till she goes home? And he says, because they, first of all, that's the same one shiva. How come Amin Hagam are right and Yuman Hagam are wrong? It's all different parts of the shiva, it's basically the same thing. So he says, because we don't hold like you. The Chavis Yair and Arusa has to cover her. We hold only in Asura. And he shakes out the Muslim, all the Svarva Shachar, and say, only in Asura. And then he says, we don't hold like your Ramah, that's standing under the canopy of Nisun. We hold like the Rambam. More on the Seyosu than our Rambam, they're only Yichud. But we don't do like you, that you do Yichud right after the... You do everything wrong, we do everything right. We don't have Yichud right after the canopy. So the canopy is just a ceremony. That's not the Nisuin. The Yichud is the Nisuin. We don't do the Yichud until after the whole party is all over, when they go home. So the girl is only in Arusha, so Hashem says that she doesn't have to cover her hand. But then he gets stuck with a kasha at the end. And yes, so if we don't do like you, if everything that we do is right, so how do we say Yichud Nisuin under the canopy? Then we only have the Yichud 5, 6, 7 hours later when we go home. So he says, I wrote about that somewhere else. You know, you wrote about somewhere else, he doesn't really give a good answer, but that's their meaning. It's not a question of meaning, that's their practice. He claims that there's nothing wrong with that. The three opinions, when the married woman has to start covering her hair. Some say after Erisin, some say after Nisun, and some say only after Birushan. Before Birushan, she doesn't have to. All the three possibilities. The Biskirov has a famous comment on the Fasik when Eliezer is davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should help him find the right girl. So in his prayer he requests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Fanai Hayom, please see to it that I succeed today. That's in Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Chav Dal Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomar, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Fanai Hayom Asa Chesed, see to it that it works today. The Pasuk says that he came there Lies Erev. He came and was ready right before Shkia. And he says he wants it to happen today. He says there's only 5 minutes left till today. So how can he possibly, how's the Rebbe Shalom possibly going to see to it that it happens today? So that's why the Rebbe Shalom saw to it that everything happened very quickly. It says, Vayorats, Vatorats, everybody's running. What's the big rush? Because he requested of the Rebbe Shalom that everything should happen today before Shkia. So that's why the Rebbe Shalom wanted to grant his request. So he caused everybody to rush through everything. The Gemara learns out of din, Masech HaShavuos and Perek Shavuos HaDayan, the Gemara learns out of din from the fact that Avraham Avinu requested of Eliezer that when he swears to him, Simna Yod Chatachas Yirechi, that he should put his hand on his thigh as a symbol of Nikitas Chefet. When a person takes a Shavuos HaDayan, a person is a medicine, and the Bezdin administers a Shavuah, so the good is he has to hold on to a Sefer Torah. He doesn't have to hold on to a Sefer Torah like this. You can have a Sefer Torah on the table and put your hand like you swear on a Bible. That's where the practice comes from. You swear holding a Bible. The Gemara says, if a Chacham doesn't have to hold a Bible, he can hold the Tefillin. Or you see that it applies to any Dabashal Mitzvah, any Choshma Dabashal Mitzvah, like the days of Avraham Avinu, the first Mitzvah that he had, the Mitzvah that he was considered to do with Bris Milah, he didn't have the Yebed hold on to his Bris Milah, he never held on to his thigh, which was like holding on to a Sefer, holding on to something nearby. And so the person holds on to the Eitzchaim of the Sefer. It's also good, he doesn't have to hold on to the drop, hold on to the mental Sefer, he holds on to the thigh of Avraham Avinu. It's also acceptable. So the Gemara says that the Shavuos HaDayan must be administered to Nikitas Chefetz. And if a dayan is Mashbiyah, if Ba'avin, we're bound to keep the Schechus, it has the status of a Torah, but the Mishnah, Echazer, and you have to meet this Shavu again. It wasn't acceptable, the first one was not acceptable. So it's a question, what does this Shavu got to do with the Shavu's Hadayana? Well, there is a Medi Mitzah, so there is a Shavu's Erechor, the Shavu's Hashemun. The wrong is three Shavu's Hadayana. What does one got to do with the other, the Sashler Rosh? So the Rosh writes over there, that it's only Asmachtim of the Rechor. And even though it's only an Asmachtim Rabban, it's still called Tayyar B'dvar Mishnah. Tayyar B'dvar Mishnah could be a Din D'Rabbanan also, but it's a Din that's Mekubal, a Din that's Muskam and Mekubal, that's called Tayyar B'dvar Mishnah. The Russian Sanhedrin, in fact, quotes in the name of the Gaonim, let's say this is the Gaonim right, that they wrote Sifrei Psak. So let's say someone, a Bezdin Paskin wrong, can they give on the Sifrei Psak? And the Gemara doesn't say the Tayyar what the Din is, but in the Sifrei HaGaonim, it says. So that's also the Gaonim say it. That's called Tayyar B'dvar Mishnah. Or Shulchan Aruch says the one fasting is against the din that's mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, even though it's not mefurish in the Gemara. That's called also Tayyar B'dvar Mishnah. It doesn't have to be a Mishnah from Rabbi Anasi's Mishnahs. It can be a contemporary Sefer Pesach that's a Gabon Ruskom and Mekubal that everybody accepts. So that's what the Rosh has about in the Zonger Asmach and Rabbah. It's just proving that such a concept existed. And those we shine more hope that know that it's a real Drasha Gemara, so what kind of Drasha Gemara? Why should we go to Hasina? What does it have to do with the Shavu'os Hadayon? So instead, what you have to say is that the Gemara is just proving that this exists, so if been, there is such a Chal Hashem Shavu'a. If you would ask me, if you wouldn't have any psukim, you'd ask me, I would say, are you crazy? What's the difference whether the guy swears holding on to a stack of Bibles or he swears like this? Would that holding on to a stack of Bibles make a difference? So more just proves from a pasuk, you can see that it's a Shavu'a Hamura B'Yoseh, that holding on to it, and keep that faith is holding on to it, that we shall meet Shavu'a. Like said, the Torah Tzvillin, or over here with Bruce Milo, is a more harsh of a Shavu'a than otherwise, than taking the Shavu'a without holding on. Or he made him swear the shame. Ashbi'achim Hashem Alati HaShamayim. How does it say? Makes him swear by the king. Makes him swear Shavu'a B'Shem. The Rambam holds that big types of Shavu'a. There's a Shavu'a B'Shem, there's a Shavu'a B'Shem. Shavu'a B'Shem is stronger than a Shavu'a B'Shem. You just see that Avraham Avinu wanted his Eliezer, Rebbe Avdor, to take the most common Shavu'a that one can possibly imagine. So he insisted he should do a Shavu'a B'Nikitas Chepet and a Shavu'a B'Shem. So again, that's all you see from the Pasuk. And then the Gemara understands in Tzara Svara, when the Beis Din administers a Shavu'a Sadayonim, HaSvara Nosenes, that the Beis Din would require the highest level of a Shavu'a Chamura. So that's why the Beis Din says, we want a Shavu'a B'Shem, we want a Nikitas Chepet. It just proves in the Chumash that there is a Chal Hashem Al-Fidin, that it's Nitzas. That's why you're going to insist, you want a Shavu'a in the presence of all of the Vada Rabbanim, the local Vada Rabbanim of the Yom Kodesh open. You have no mocker in the Chumash, in the Gemara, that should... Of course it's going to add deal. It'll steer the guy out of his wits. He's going to show the presence of all of the Rabbanim of the Yom Kodesh open. But it adds to the seriousness. It adds deal. But Al Pidin, it doesn't have any Chal Hashem, so we learn from the Pesuk, Mabish has a Chal Hashem, Al Pidin. In fact, the Ram in Nidorim, in the second parak of Nidorim, quotes an opinion from the Gaonim, that if somebody took a Shavu'a B'Nikitas Chepetz, let's say a woman took a Shavu'a B'Nikitas Chepetz, that she's never going to eat vegetables, fruits or vegetables, for the rest of her life. So the Gemara says that would constitute a Shavu'a of Imli Nefesh, where the husband would have the right to be made for. The husband's wrong to make her if it's a Shavu'a that has Imli Nefesh or Tvam Shabbino. Neither Imli Nefesh or Tvam Shabbino Rabbino. Imli Nefesh, the husband has the right to be made for. So what if the Shavu'a that she took was a Shavu'a that Kitas Chavis, not a Shavu'a Sadayar. When she took the Shavu'a not to eat fruits and vegetables, she was holding on to a Sefer Torah at the time. So the Ron quotes an opinion from the Gaonim that a Shavu'a B'Nikitas Chepetz is a different Chal Hashem Shavu'a. It's a much higher level Shavu'a. It doesn't lend itself to Ha'afara V'Atara. It doesn't lend itself to Ha'afara V'Atara. The husband cannot be Mekha, and a Chacham cannot be Matkeh. The normal Shavu'as that the Torah speaks of that lend themselves to Ha'afara V'Atara are Shavu'a B'Nikitas Chepetz. Shavu'a B'Nikitas Chepetz is a Chal Hashem Shavu'a Chamura V'Yoseh. It doesn't lend itself to anything. So that's how Pitashkus. That's what we're learning after the parsha, that it's the Shavu'a HaChamura B'Yoseh. In the Haftarah we read about that when HaMelech came to it, that his son Shlomo will take over the kingdom after he dies, as opposed to any other of his children. Adon Yor ben Chagiz. Chagiz is the mother's name. Adon Yor was Ben David, but his mother, he had a lot of wives. So they identified the children by the mother. Adon Yor ben Chagiz wanted to take over the kingdom, and then Adon Yor said, nothing doing. He's gonna appoint Shlomo, his son. Out of appreciation, Bathsheba bows down to her husband David, and she says, "If he had any amor of David the Olam, she lived forever." What kind of Baruch Hashem? Let's have a half tefillah. What do you mean? She lived forever. So he's an old sick man. He's laying in bed, so cold. Hey, David, talking about my chassid, I'm going to lay yecham. He's holding that yend already. He died at the age of 70. What do you mean? If he had any amor of David the Olam, what kind of baloney is that? So the Pashup Shat is that she's giving a bracha that the Malchus Beis David should continue forever. Because the Midrashim say that the Malchus Beis David only has a special status out begin. There's a special din, the Malchus Beis David, as opposed to the other Malach, or Malach, the din of the Malach. But the Malchus Beis David has a special din. The Marshal of the Rishon Din and the Shir Bar Yochai, the Malchus Beis David. No one is committed to sit at the Beis HaMikdash unless he is a king from the Malchus Beis David. So somehow there are two Rashis on the Gemara. One place Rashi writes that that's only a din of the Rabbana. How can a din of the Raisa? If it's an Issa of the Raisa, how can a Melech from the Malchus Beis David be an exception to the rule that he's allowed to sit? And another place Rashi writes, no, that it's Halacha Moshe Messina. We're not passing the Chumash. It's Halacha Moshe Messina. Now it's part of the Halacha Moshe Messina. And Malchus Beis David are allowed to sit. So what does it mean? Halacha Moshe Messina is said, Malchus Beis David are allowed to sit. So Shaul HaMelech didn't know about that Halacha Moshe Messina. So what was Shmuel HaNevi? We just learned in the Gemara about the Shmuel HaNevi, and then you say that Shluch HaNitzvah Ani Zokim. What do you mean? No one knew about this Halacha Moshe Messina, that David is going to become the Melech and the Malchus Beis David and Sitni Azara. When did this Halacha Moshe Messina come into existence? After David was appointed, before he was appointed. So Adavel and the Seyha Chodesh explains, it doesn't mean that was the notion of the Halacha Moshe Messina. Any Shir Bazaar ever the Malchus Beis David about. The notion was any Shir Bazaar ever the Malchus HaNefcheres. There's a Malchus and there's a Malchus HaNefcheres. Who would be Zerichas to have the Malchus HaNefcheres will be determined in the course of history by the Nevi'im and by your people's reactions to different things. And it turned out that it happened to be David. So that's when in later generations, after it was already determined that David was Zerichas to the Bechiras HaMalchus, so when they said over that Halacha Moshe Sinai, they reworded it, they updated it, and they said it the way it's like, yeah, Halacha Moshe, and Yeshiva Zayah, and all the Malchus is covered with that. But really the way that Halacha Moshe Sinai was always transmitted in earlier generations was, Elul Malchus and Echaz Duran. Raman Ruchus Menachem quotes a din. Another exception to the rule for Malchus being covered, that a government is not, the Malchus, the kingdom is not permitted to have their offices in the old city, in Yerushalayim, unless it's Malchus Beis David, the capital of Eretz Yisrael. The capital of Medina Yisrael is Yerushalayim al Pidin only when it's a Malchus Beis David government. If it's not a Malchus Beis David government, that you're not allowed to have Yerushalayim as your capital. That's why people used to joke that the American government doesn't recognize Jerusalem as the capital. They only keep on saying Tel Aviv, because they don't want the Israeli government Khalilu to be over on the Yisrael that the Rambam quoted. The Rambam quotes it from Yerushalayim. They moved some of the government office. They moved some of the government office into the U.S. Department. So that's the question of Pidin, whether you're elected or not. Mishra Mishpatim, the Justice Department, some of the other offices on the U.S. Department. The Westport office, I think, is also on the U.S. Department. Some of the offices are there. But that's the question, whether the Yisrael only applies to another kingdom, other than Malchus Beis David, or applies to any government. But you're not allowed to have Yerushalayim as a capital. But that's also based on this notion that Malchus Beis David is the Malchus HaNefcheres. So the Midrashim say that it's only going to be the Malchus HaNefcheres if it's going to go through Shlomo HaMelech. If it's going to have the other people, that, let's say Melech HaMashiach, is going to be a descendant from David HaMelech, a descendant from anyone. David HaMelech had a lot of wives, had a lot of children. So anyway, the descendant, no, so the Midrashim say it's only a descendant of David Shlomo. The Rambam quotes that marriage in the Kiddush HaMishnayos. Only descended from David Shlomo. So that's what some interpret, that now that they heard some kind of a rumor from the Nevi'im like that, so that's why she said, oh, now that you appointed Shlomo as the king, David Yehoma. Now the Malchus Beis David will last forever. If you wouldn't have appointed Shlomo as the king, then it wouldn't, the ring continue with the Malchus Hanukhev. That apparently was that they understood that that was one of the conditions of the Hemshechis of the Malchus Beis David. The Gemara says in Brachos, when you recite Brachos Hamazon, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim. We had it. Now we don't have Yerushalayim, so we say, "May Yerushalayim be HaKadosh Yerushalayim Amen." Then we have my Yerushalayim Amen. This doesn't end there for some reason. But the Bizman Shabbos Samig Yerushalayim Kayyam, so they didn't say, "May Yerushalayim." They used to say, "We thank you very much." Now we say, "Rachma Yisrael Amecha, Ad Rachman Esan Yerushalayim, Ad Rachman Esan Malchus Beis David." And when you have a Yerushalayim, when you have a Beis Hamikdash, and you have a Malchus Beis, you don't say, "Ad Rachman Esan." We say, we thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom. We say, no, the Lechua HaShem, we say, Erev Chem Dotei Rechava. And we thank you for Yerushalayim. And we thank you for the Beis HaMikdash, and we thank you for the Malchus Beis David. How do they know they have to thank? How do the Chacham know you have to thank for Malchus Beis David? Where does it say that? But the Gemara goes back on the Pasuk that you have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom and then shame the Yerushalayim. It says, the Chacham is right to be after us, HaShem HaLakech, HaOretz HaTev HaShem HaSalah. So the Gemara says, the Chacham is right over after, to understand you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. But then it says, Al-Haaretz, you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you're giving you Eretz Yisrael as well. You say, no, the Ruchach and Chacham is not Eretz. Then you say, Al-Haaretz HaTeva. What is HaTeva? Al-Haaretz HaZeva HaVon. And the Gemara says, so HaTeva is referring to Yerushalayim. With the Beis HaMikdash, you spell it out, and that, you spell it out. We thank you for Yerushalayim, we thank you for the Beis HaMikdash. If you have it, if you don't have it, yes. Rachim HaYerushalayim Imecham. HaYerushalayim Yerecha Ratzio Mishkava. Malchus Beis David Meshavah. And then you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ask him, Ad Rachmanis, for Malchus Beis David, because Yerushalayim is incomplete without the Malchus Beis David. That's that Rambam quoted from Yerushalayim in the Hilchos Malachim, the beginning of the Hilchos Malachim. You're not permitted to have the government use Yerushalayim as the capital unless it's a government of the Malchus Hanukheres. So Yerushalayim is Shalom Ishtanuso unless you have a Malchus Beis David. That's exactly why other kings are not allowed to have Yerushalayim as their capital. So if the Torah says we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim, and well, now we don't have it, so we have to ask him to give us Yerushalayim. Ad Rachmanis Rachim al Yerushalayim Yimecha. Al Yerushalayim Yimecha. So then you have to thank or ask for the Malchus Beis David also, which is the Hashlam of Yerushalayim. That makes Yerushalayim a Bishlei Musa. That's why you have in the Tosefta, in Brachas, in the Yerushalmi quotes that Tosefta, in the Tosefta, Reed has a long arichas in the end of Tainus. He has an essay about this, that Bizman HaTanoim, and then put it in the Middle Ages. And also said he used to have a Nusach HaTfilah of Shemana Esrei, 18 Brachas. The 18 Brachas were after they added Golam HaShinim. Originally there were 17 brothers, and they made it 18 brothers. Because they had Yerushalayim, Yerucha, Berachim, Toshna, Estara, Tavara, Abduchu as one brother. And to set the rights explicitly, if you want, you can include them as one brother. And if you want, you can split them up and recite them as two brothers. Why should you include them together as one brother? So obviously, because as Ruth says, in the end of Tainus, it's really one Indian. Malchus Beis David accomplishes that the Yerushalayim is Bishlei Musa, it's the Binyana Bishlei Musa. Yeah, but the present government in Eretz Yisrael, with the Memshalah, now for sure it's Shalom Yishlam Yisrael. That is my understanding. As the Rambam writes, the Melech HaMashiach, the continuation of Malchus Beis David, is going to be descended not just of Dover, but a descendant of Dover and Shlomo. A descendant of both. More in Sanhedrin, in the second paragraph, has a comment that David HaMelech was an old man. He needed a young girl to keep him from. And he had already had 18 wives, and he wasn't permitted to marry any more wives. And no one was prepared to receive a gift. So the Gemara says it was at that time David HaMelech had made a gzeira against Yichud Pnuya. Having Yichud, the Gemara said Yichud was an Eshesir, she was always an Yisabar, so it seemed to really be anymore. And Yichud was a single girl was instituted by David HaMelech after the occurrence of Amnon and Tamar, the practice system. So the Gemara says that because he was a Chayla Mesukon, he was sick, and the doctors were afraid that he was going to get sick and die earlier than he would normally die. So that he threw it on the yachid, but he threw it on the garish. But they had to be matter something for him. He needed a young body to keep him warm. So they were matter for him, yichud of a priya, but they will not matter for him if they get married to an additional wife, that's an issa deraisa, to marry an 19th wife. I could have divorced one of the 18 wives and married the girl, so you didn't have to violate the yichud. No. To divorce a wife who's not interested in getting divorced is also an issa, which is more chomer than the issa derabanan of yichud priya. Apparently that sounds like it's an issa deraisa. In the garish of Aipakach, and the Pashtus is that it's an issa deraisa. We have in the Shulchanach, they quote that there's a chender of benegeshim and not the divorce of Aipakach. So the Pashtus is the chender of benegeshim doesn't mean that he invented the issa. Pashtus is that the issa, some of those issaim for sure are issaim deraisa. We have a chender from the Middle Ages, it's quoted in Ebenezer. Shalei hapas es ishtei. Meaning, until the Middle Ages, it was looked for a husband to beat up his wife. Then they come up and have new chumras. Every year come up and have new chumras. You can't beat up your wife. But Yosef Ben Yosef, but there never was a chem, chem, and suggest that the man should drop dead. The man says, chem, with nirchnas into the Ramachi dorm, and we assume that the man is going to die. We curse him. So the chem was introduced in the Middle Ages when they saw that he was getting out of hand. Really also. But then Gersh made a claim that you're not allowed to meet someone else's male. Even when I tell you you're allowed to meet someone else's male, the Pashtus says you're not allowed to. He's entitled to his privacy. As well as that, the principle of privacy from Sukkim and the Chumash. One human said, well, if you Pashtus, that's a good day, right? But then everyone's a chayim. So then Gersh introduced a claim. A lot of the things that Rabbi Gersh put Chalamim on, were always assumed their rights. But he put teeth into the Yisrael to make sure that the people won't violate this Yisrael. The Pashtus one could understand. A lot of Yehuda has a true where he assumes not so. He assumes that giving a Yerushim Bachar is only Issa Derabban. But one could learn not like that very good. One could assume that Shalom of Yerushim Bachar is really an Issa Derabban. So, well, I'm married to God. I've promised under the canopy to love, honor, and cherish her for the rest of my life. That's what it says in the Ksuga. He's going to honor his wife and cherish his wife and take good care of her. Then he divorces her without her consent. But the Pashtus is certainly a violation of his promise that he gave to the wife. So that's the Pashtus that we have a dinner. You have a chayla musukan and you have to do a violation of some issue in order to save his life. So the Gemara has a problem. You know, machila masa hakar hakar chila. So let's take the human. If you can either give them something that tells them an authority to save his life or something that tells them to have done, so give them a missa to have done. If you give an issim and aferev, one has kares and one only has nisim de shamayim. So kares is worse. If you give the one that only has nisim de shamayim, one has kares and one has lav. So give the one that doesn't have lav. Don't give the issim that has kares. We want to give long details of this, and let's pray for you, and long details of the application of these women, I think that's our power of fear. The Pashtus is that that's what happened every year. He feared on the Yachid, but he feared on the Garish. He feared on the Yachid because Yichid is on the Rabbah, and he feared on the Garish, because the Garish, Bal Kochay, as an Issa Deraisa, and none of them wanted to get divorced. None of them 18 wives. Everyone said, yeah, divorce the other one. This one said, divorce the other one. I came first, I came last, this time, what time, the baby left, everyone had a tear, that's why they didn't want to be Makabal again. So then they had to be marked or something, so he threw it on the Yachid. Thus it says that he was never, he didn't marry Abishai Hashemanis. So he was never with her, she was for the purpose of keeping him warm, but he was never there now. And he wasn't there now because he was, it's not that because he was an old man and he didn't have a desire for women. The Gemara says no, when Basheva came, so in order to prove, he said, Gemara in Sanhedrin, in order to prove to Basheva that he was still young enough to be with a woman, so the Gemara says he was born there 13 times, because there are 13 words in that passage. And he showed Basheva that he's not moving with this girl Avishav, she's just there for the purpose of keeping his body warm. He's not having a marital relations with her, not because he's an old man, he's still young enough to be with a wife. That's because he's not married with her. He can only marry 18 wives, and he's only having yichud with her, they have mati yichud, and that's why. So the Gemara says that this pasuk, the Gemara has an agarika, that this pasuk has 15 words. If you count the 13 words, it's based on the assumption that Basheva is one word. So Machlokes and Ebenezer, when you write it super again, you write Basheva as two words, someone's name is Yisachadev. See this writer's name is Yisachadev. So you write two words, Yisachadev. Then Yankee Yisrael, so it's two words, you have a space in between. The Gemara is one word, it says. But the marshal will give him shaykh al-Aqidah. He hasn't done his Qadala. So you write one word, and you shouldn't write Qadala la'ina, two different lines, you should write two on one line. But the shayla is Basheva. Is that written? You have a Tanakh. Let's say here in Yeshiva, they learn from a Tanakh. So how are you supposed to write Basheva with a space in between or not? So from the Gemara's Agarash, it says, Batova, Basheva, El HaMelech, Achadra, VaHaMelech, Uzzat, and Yer, Rabishach, Hashanamis, Misharas, Es HaMelech. And that's his 13 words. That's on the assumption that Basheva, Rachayim, bring you right. And who was given this sense? We see from that Agarash that they understood that Basheva is one word. I don't think that's the way we do it. Okay.